text as a basis for the lesson tonight, and I will confess to you that I'm doing something that I don't normally do. This is not what I had planned to talk about tonight. But we just finished our vacation Bible school, and I hope you were here. I hope you witnessed the zeal and the enthusiasm of those children. I will also confess that I am pessimistic by nature, and there are times when I despair about the future of God's kingdom. And then I see the zeal of the college students, for example. I see the faith of these high school and middle school students, and I see the children. And I would suggest to you that maybe in this local church or any local church, there is little or nothing perhaps more important that we do than to help the parents to instill a love for God and a desire to serve God in the lives of these children. And so I was riding a high from having been blessed and privileged to spend some time with the children during the course of this week, and I was sorting through my email yesterday afternoon, and I opened an email. I think I had received it on Friday, but I had not looked at it until yesterday afternoon. And this email was an email that was discussing the characteristics of little children. And to explain this, and to explain what Jesus meant when he said, unless you turn, or unless you are converted and become like little children, you cannot be a part of the kingdom of heaven. The author of this particular article suggested an acrostic. I had never seen this particular one before, but I was impressed by it. And it just seemed providential to me. Perhaps. Who knows? But I opened that email and I read that article and I looked at this acrostic and I thought that fits what I'm thinking right now. It fits what I'm feeling right now. So I want to share it with you tonight. It won't take very long. I don't know if you want to write this down or not. You can download the slide, of course, later on. But I thought this was as good a presentation. It really is kind of challenging sometimes. I've been asked many times, Well, what did Jesus mean when he said, unless you become like little children? I don't think he was talking about older men who go through a second childhood. I doubt that that's it. Although I have heard some wives, we won't name any names to protect the, well, not so innocent. I have heard some wives talk about the childish behavior of their husbands or raising their grown child. You ever hear something like that? I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. When he looks at these little children, and it occurs to Jesus to say, you've got to be just like them, or you can't be a part of the kingdom of heaven. So what are some of the characteristics of little children that Jesus might very well have had in mind? Here's what the acrostic revealed. First of all, generally speaking, young children are contented. I read something somewhere not too long ago that children are content, and this is almost universally true, until they learn to be discontented. I think that's exactly right. Children don't start out with a desire to wear designer clothing. Most little children really don't care if they're wearing clothing at all. And certainly don't care if the tag says Walmart or Kmart or if it says something considerably more fancy than that. Somewhere or another along the way, children learn to be discontented with the things that they have. It is amazing to me that as grandparents, we spend so much money, and I would expect an amen or two from this audience, on gifts for our grandchildren, only to watch them spend the entire day playing with the box in which the expensive gift came, right? And just as happy and as contented as they can be. It reminds me of what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm confident that this is one of those characteristics of little children that Jesus is thinking about, that is on his mind when he said, you've got to become like them. You must be like them. We need to learn what we all knew when we were little children. We need to learn to be content. Secondly, again, generally speaking, and it's almost universally true, children are humble. And as a matter of fact, Jesus mentions that specifically in our text. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. One of the problems that the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, had was arrogance or pride. On more than one occasion, they argued among themselves about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, who was going to sit on Jesus' right hand and who was going to sit on his left hand. As a matter of fact, it is in a context like that where Jesus says this about little children. Whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to turn there, but you're familiar with the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And on the night before he was crucified, and that's recorded by John in John chapter 13 in the first 10 verses. And remember also that Peter is the one who spoke up and said, not me. You know, not my feet. I'm paraphrasing. But in essence, Peter was questioning Jesus, the master, the teacher, getting down on his hands and knees and washing the disciples' feet. And Jesus tells him, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part in my kingdom. But I think it's interesting that undoubtedly many years later, the same Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Clothe yourselves with humility. Attaining humility is one of our lifelong challenges as Christians, is it not? And as C.S. Lewis warns us, the danger about humility is when you start analyzing your life, you start thinking about where you need some improvement, where you need to grow, where you've made some progress. At the very point that you admit, I finally reached the point where I am humble, you have blown it. And you have to start all over again. Humility is a real challenge. And undoubtedly, that's part of what Jesus meant. A big part in the context of what Jesus meant when he said you must become like little children. Little children are innocent. Jesus did not subscribe to the modern doctrine of total hereditary depravity. He did not believe, nor did he teach, nor do any inspired writers in the Scriptures teach, that children are born guilty of Adam's sin. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, and this is a passage that all of us should have highlighted or noted in our Old Testaments, when the Israelites in Babylonian captivity were blaming, they were blaming their parents, their grandparents, really they were blaming God. They were saying, you know, we're here in Babylon, we're being punished for what our fathers did. You remember the parable? And Jeremiah tells us that they were using this parable in Jerusalem too. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And that makes God angry. And God says, you're going to stop using this parable. You're not going to use this parable anymore. It doesn't represent the truth. And so he says in verse 20, the son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father. And he goes on to say, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And so little children are innocent. They are born innocent. There is no taint of sin in a little child. How else could Jesus have said, unless you repent, unless you turn, unless you are converted and become like little children? A little bit later on in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, he says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. I've used Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14 in discussions with Calvinists before who would argue that we are born guilty of sin to ask the question, what could Jesus have possibly meant when he said, for of such is the kingdom, or for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven, if those little children are guilty of sin, if they are born sinners? Sin has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. Children arrive here as innocents and do not become sinners until they commit personal sin. And so we've got to deal with our sin. We've got to become like little children. We've got to find some way to reach that innocent state again. We can't do it by ourselves. It's a whole series of other lessons, right? But God has made it possible for us to have our sins forgiven. Washed away, your sins and your iniquities remembered no more, so that He can view us as innocent children. Children are innocent. Children are loving. And children, again, generally speaking, with very few exceptions that I've ever run across, are anxious and eager to show love and to receive love. Is there anything better than a hug from a little child? Anything at all. It doesn't have to be your own child, even. It doesn't have to be your own grandchild. That adds a little, you know, something special to it. But just to have a little child, a little boy or a little girl, throw their arm around your neck and even say without being embarrassed at all, "I love you." Now, what happens to us as adults that it becomes embarrassing for us to say, "I love you"? And Susan and I decided a long time ago, and really in 1996, we had this discussion when our oldest son went away to college for the first time. And their cell phones were around in 1996, but Gary's cell phone was in a bag. And you plugged it into the cigarette lighter to make it work, and it cost a fortune to make a call. So it was for emergencies only. We didn't get to talk to Gary all the time. There was no such thing as Skype or FaceTime back then. So you had the once a week phone call, and we decided that we were going to say, "I love you" when we talked to him on the phone. And so we started saying, that was a little hard for me to say that. I grew up with a father. This is not a criticism of my father at all. He was a man of his time. He was a man of his generation, but my father would have had a hard time saying "I love you" in any kind of a public way. So it was hard for me, but I did it, and it took a long time for him to finally. And I expect it had to be when none of his sweet mates were around. It took a long time for him to get to the point where he could say it back, and even then it was awkward. After all these years, my sons and I, very seldom ever, it would be unusual for us to ever end a conversation, ever separate, ever leave, without saying and receiving, "I love you." That's what little children do just naturally. They are so incredibly loving. There's no embarrassment in saying, "I love you." Why should we be embarrassed to say to our brothers and sisters in Christ, "I love you. You are special. You are important to me." You know, why is it that husbands sometimes have such a hard time saying to their wives, "I love you," or wives to their children? Why is it that we have such a hard time? Unless you become like little children, we need to, again, get back to that innocence and that purity and that eagerness to love someone else and to receive love as well. Little children are dependent. This is a little bit awkward maybe to make this point, because those who are parents understand that when we're raising our children, we are raising them to be independent. And the goal of raising children, not every parent I think understands this, but the goal in raising children is to prepare them to leave. To go out of the home, eventually to leave father and mother and be joined to a wife or be joined to a husband. And so we're raising them to teach them to be independent. We talk all the time. We talk a lot with our college students, and maybe not enough with our high school and middle school students, about the importance of developing your own faith, having your own faith. That when you go away from home especially, it needs to be your faith that you take with you and not just the faith of your parents. But there is something refreshing about the dependence of children. They are content with the idea that mom and dad will take care of them. That's cute in a 2-year-old, not so cute in a 17-year-old, maybe. They just know that they need to be fed, they need to be clothed, they need to be protected, and they don't give it a second thought, do they? They don't worry about it at all. My parents will take care of that. Psalm 25 and verse 2. Oh, my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. We need to develop some of that same kind of dependence on God. I think one of the real dangers of the culture, the time, the place where we live in history is that we are encouraged to be independent to the point that it becomes difficult, sometimes even impossible, for those who profess to be Christians to be dependent on God, completely dependent upon God and totally dependent upon God. Sometimes, brethren, we need to have the faith of little children, the ability to just say, God, I'll just leave this in God's hands. God is my Father. I trust God. God will take care of me, the dependence of little children. R was ready to forgive, and I like this a lot. Have you ever noticed small children playing, and sometimes they can have just a knockdown, drag-out argument? Over a toy, over some possession very often, maybe even, you know, physically struggling. And the only time that really becomes a problem is when the parents get it. You know, most of the time, and I'm talking about small children, this disappears as they get older too. But most of the time, small children have a way of working those things out. And it is impressive to watch how angry they can be with one another and 5 minutes later be just as happy together playing. It's not just that they have forgiven one another, they've forgotten about it. Now again, when the parents get involved, and you know, you see this a lot of times, especially with the parents who are dealing with their first child and they want to protect them and they want to make sure that everything is just exactly right. If you just leave it to the small children, almost all of the time, they are anxious to forgive. They are ready to forgive. They very easily forget their disagreements. And, you know, your toddler, your child can come into the room one day and I'm never speaking to that person again. And maybe even stronger language than that. I hate so-and-so. Pardon me, parents, if I'm using a word that you don't use in your house, but hate is a perfectly good biblical word and I refuse to abandon it or give it up. I hate my sister. You don't have to worry most of the time. A few hours later, certainly by the next day, they've patched things up, and they're fine. Where did we lose that? Where did we learn to carry grudges, not just for hours or days or weeks or months, but for years? And not be able to remember what it is like to be forgiven so that we can forgive others. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. Jesus said to the apostles and to his disciples, "Pay attention to yourselves." Listen, in other words, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, "I repent," you must forgive him. That's a lesson we learn from little children. Little children are eager to learn. Eager to learn. At some point, they become jaded. And they're not as eager to learn. Something happens and learning becomes more of a chore or a challenge. But little children are very anxious to learn, and you see it in just so many different ways. With learning to crawl, and then learning to walk, and then, especially for first-time parents, the real challenges begin when they become mobile. And then learning to talk. To communicate. It's just it is incredible to watch little children and see how much they soak up, and they are so anxious to learn, so eager to learn. They want you to read to them. What a joy it is when a little child will come into a room and bring you a book and then reach to be put up into your lap. They want you to read the book to them. You know, it's such a thrill. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, one of the things that Jesus said is, "Blessed are those adults," I'm adding the word adults, "who haven't forgotten that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We ought to be eager to learn. And learning is lifelong. When we stop learning, we start dying. When we stop learning, we stop growing. Children are eager to learn. And we need to have that exact same characteristic. And I'm confident that that's at least part of what Jesus meant when he said, you must become like little children. Now, let me suggest to you finally that the N in the acrostic is the word natural. Children are just themselves until, again, something happens to them. And they get the idea that they need to be something else. You will never see, and maybe there's an exception, but I'd be surprised. You will never see a two-year-old in front of a mirror saying, my goodness, my hair is a mess. I can't be seen on the playground looking like this. What? They saw me in this jumper yesterday. Mom, can we get a little waist-cinching belt to go around the middle here? Do they care what they look like? We do. As parents and as grandparents, we care very much sometimes what they look like. They don't care at all. They are just happy to be themselves. They laugh at what makes them laugh. They laugh at what they think is funny. Whether you think it's funny or not is immaterial. I've seen tiny children, I've seen small children just almost fall over laughing at something that I thought that's the... What are they laughing at? They're just themselves. They are natural. There is no pretense. What is the New Testament word? There is no hypocrisy. Now, I understand. I thought about this. I mean, the word hypocrisy, a hypocrite, that word was not a bad word in Greek, just generally speaking in Greek. It's a word that the Holy Spirit appropriated in a negative way. And the word hypocrite or various forms of that word is never used in a positive way in the New Testament. But a hypocrite was an actor. And the idea of hypocrisy is you make somebody believe that you are something that you are not. That's what the best actors do, is it not? While they are on the screen, while they're on the stage, while you're watching them, you don't see the real person. You see the person they are playing, the person they are pretending to be. The best actors can make us believe that. I promise you that from the mid-1960s until yesterday, till today, I have never one time seen Adam West, the actor Adam West, without picturing Batman in my mind. Hypocrisy. And little children like to play. They like to dress up. We have, and you know, we have no children home, but you know, we have boxes of clothes. And when the grandchildren come over and they find these clothes, they dress up. Susan and I were treated to a play today, this afternoon, in our own living room. And the star of the play, can I say this? I think I can say this in an assembly like this. It was Captain Underpants was the star. It was great. He was great. I won't tell you the name of his nemesis, but he was good too. They're just as natural as they can be. There's no embarrassment about them being themselves. And we've lost that as adults, I think. We lose that as adults as well. We care very much about how we look. We care very much about our hair. We care very much about our clothes and the style of clothes that we wear and the cars that we drive and the houses that we live in. And the reason that we care about those things very often is because at the forefront of our mind is, I want people to think a certain thing about me. I want people to think a certain way about me. And children have none of that pretense at all. And sometimes we can play the hypocrite and try to make people convinced, try to make people think, try to make them become convinced that we are something that we are not. Children are natural. Well, that's the acrostic, and that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. While that was still fresh on my mind from the Vacation Bible School. In the article, the author of the article said, adults should never be childish. Guys, adults should never be childish, but there is absolutely nothing wrong with becoming childlike. Unless you become as little children. Unless you become converted. Unless you turn and become as little children. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. What about you tonight? Have you turned? Have you converted? Have you changed? Have you become like a little child, innocent in your standing before God? If not, then that's what the invitation is all about, giving you the opportunity to have your sins forgiven so that you can be pure and innocent, like these little children about whom Jesus has such glowing and incredible things to say in the New Testament. Maybe you were a child in faith at one time, but you've lost that. And maybe even in one of the ways that we talked about in this acrostic. And you need to make some change or correction in your life. If there's anything we can do to assist you in responding to the invitation, soul of Savior, thou art needing, is the song that's been selected. While we sing the words to this song, think about your spiritual condition. If we can help you, humbly turn to God. Come to one of these front seats. Let us know how we can serve you. Right now, while we stand and sing, we invite you to come.